Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, Backseaters. Welcome to This Week and Don't Make Me Come Back There. That made it sound like a news report. Welcome to This Week and Don't Make Me Come Back There. We bring you highlights from the Charleston Ravens.
Yeah.
That's probably a team, right?
That used, probably
something
used to
like
be.
That. Yeah. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of this podcast, and I am alongside Stephen English.
Yeah.
Producer of this podcast and also a stand-up comedian, and we are in easily our fanciest, most desirable location yet.
I remember, yeah.
Which is a 2009 Dodge Caravan. Not any 2009 Dodge Caravan.
No.
My 2009 Dodge Caravan. 200,000 miles on this thing right here.
I feel like I'm in Nickerson fantasy camp
this
right now.
This is it. The only thing that works in this van is the engine. Literally nothing. Now, you see that? Yeah,
CD
you see
player?
That deck? Yeah.
The deck is pushed in somehow. I'm not sure how you did that.
Kelly Blue Booked this recently.
Yeah.
It said it was worth $300. It should have just said LOL.
So asking, how many bumper stickers do you have? Because maybe those are worth something. They're like, do you have any change?
Bush Cheney. We haven't seen that in a while. That's $325. That's vintage.
Do you have any change in the cup holders? Because I might.
Funny you say. I thought about this the other day. When I take this vehicle to Costco, and I make a Costco run, and I unload everything that I just bought into the vehicle, I've doubled the value of the vehicle. We're up to $600 because it ain't cheap to go to Costco.
No. Especially with nine kids.
Okay. People do that. What do you got? Nine kids? Three.
It's have a barely compound. Above. He lives in a compound.
Let's stop this. Most of them are well fed. Okay.
Yeah. Only three are feral.
So we are in my van. This is the van that really my kids are never in this van. I keep the car seating so when I'm driving to LA, I can carpool because no one's going to pull this over.
No.
It's minivan, tinted windows.
If you're alone in this van, something went wrong.
Yeah. Huh. Now you're just hurting my feelings. Guys, we have a really fun episode today with one Brian Bates. Brian Bates is a stand-up comedian based in Nashville, Tennessee. He was opening for me at Skyline Comedy Club last weekend when we opened this and or when we recorded this. You can find Brian on the socials at Brian Bates Comic. I'd spell that out, but oh no, you never. Sometimes you can do Brian with a Y, so I'll clarify. Brian B-R-I-A-N, Brian Bates Comic. That's his Twitter handle as well as his Instagram handle. You can track him on the socials that way. And very funny comic. We hung out a bunch together while we were in Appleton, Wisconsin, because you might as well spend time with somebody while you're out there.
Yeah.
And we recorded in the Comedy Condo, which is somehow our first episode that we've ever done in a Comedy Condo. It won't be the last, I trust. Really fun episode. We talk about comedy. We talk about family life. We talk about being single versus being married. Relationship dynamics with, you know, his parents and all kinds of fun stuff. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode and be sure to check out all of his comedy online. And yeah, it's really, it's a fun, unique episode that anytime we can bring people into the world of the road life as a stand-up comedian, I think it's a win. And this, just doing it in a comedy condo, just could not be much more. We're going to get murdered. Somebody just pulled up next to us in this van. Hold on.
We're in a parking lot of a closed...
I don't know if you just heard that, but I locked the doors.
A closed AT&T store across the way.
From the La Jolla, in the nicest area in San Diego.
Way better
get
than
down.
Any neighborhood.
That guy's
going to
hit tennis balls at us. you know, I hope your January is off to a good start.
Yeah.
Mine is off to a pretty good start. I've been good, man. I've hit the gym 4 days so far this week. Got home, boom. I've swam. Played basketball.
We still have to do our swim. We're supposed to have a swim race.
Yeah, a swim race.
A swim race.
And I've played basketball. Yeah. I've lifted weights.
Yeah.
And I've swam.
You must have done that at, like, what, 4 or 5 different locations?
Yeah, no, one place, buddy. You know where you can get that done?
What?
The San Diego Croc Center. I absolutely adore the San Diego Croc Center.
Yeah.
If you are in the central San Diego area, then you got to check it out. Membership is so reasonable price wise, especially for families. All the amenities that you could want out of a fitness center and a recreation center, it's all there. Plus, they have the 2 hours of on-site play care. So you can go check your kids in by a well-trained staff that's going to watch your kid while you get your fitness in and get your exercise in, or not. You can do whatever you want. Well,
yeah.
I didn't swim for 2 hours.
No, of course not.
I swam for half an hour.
You're not Aquaman.
You know, Aquaman. so make sure you guys check that out. You can get information at SD, as in San Diego, sd.croccenter.org. That's Croc, K-R-O-C, sd.croccenter.org. Be a part of a community and that's bigger than yourself. Makes a difference in the community. Reach all your fitness goals. Great classes there. I highly recommend a Les Mills body pump class taught by a one Melissa Nickerson Monday and Friday at 9 a.m. So check it out.
Yeah.
Enjoy sd.croccenter.org. So I've been good. It's hard to, I didn't work out on the road, but it was, honestly, it's like sometimes you just go to cold places and you're just not motivated to do anything.
No. Yeah. No,
multiple
times
in
my
Missouri
life.
Years.
Missouri, Maryland, Korea, all cold
places. Is Korea
places.
Cold?
Korea, North Korea borders Russia.
Oh.
Like, and not
Russia
even.
Russia is like half the world. Russia's so big.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of countries border Russia.
But the cold ones.
Yeah, the cold ones.
Yeah, the cold ones do.
India.
It's right? Very cold. It's very, very cold the top. And it's, yeah, there was a week in Korea where the high was 3 degrees.
No.
That's not enough
it
degrees.
It won't do.
That's not enough degrees.
There's too little of degrees.
Yeah. I like it. Like, I like my degree. I like my weather like I like my boy bands. 98 degrees.
Oh, gosh. Weren't we talking about Chris Kirkpatrick last week?
Yeah.
It's so clear we are like 2000s,
we're just
early
stuck.
2000s pop culture guys. it was funny when I got there. So growing up in Seattle, it's not cold. It's rainy, but it doesn't get cold. So I don't know if you do this now from San Diego. When you go to a cold place, you try and sell yourself on it?
No.
You're like, I'm not used to it. So I walk outside of the airport, and I was like, oh, it's crisp. Oh, the air is crisp. You use, like, vaguely positive words. Oh,
sure.
The air is real crisp here.
Yeah.
And then the wind hits your face, and you're like, there's no God.
Refreshing.
There's no God.
Yeah.
I'm, like, kicking the icicles off my rental car. Oh, this is a new thing.
Yeah.
Isn't this an adventure we're on? This is just, I'm slumming it up here with the folks. This is really special. And it's, we went, like, But then, like, I get in the car and I turn on the radio and they're, like, mocking me because, like, hey, we got a warm front coming. It's going to get to the mid-30s today, Apple. Oh, sorry. I left my tank top at home. Yeah. I should have brought my clubs.
Yeah. Oh, my Crocs.
Yeah. It was a good time. And for the most part, the folks in Appleton were unbelievable.
Yeah.
Really great crowds. Like, anyone who came out to those shows, thank you so much. It was a great time. And it was one of those like clubs that like they didn't have food, so it was eating in the town, but they didn't have food. And so it was all just like snack food, you know,
served
there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was watching like the staff like vacuum after because all these people had spilled the popcorn and their snack stuff. And I just kept thinking, you know what these people need? A Munchie Mux. I even got you.
You
on
got
that
me
one.
On
yes,
that one.
Yes, 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 yes. That's
oh man, I was literally like, okay, where? Okay, dang.
Oh, when dang, I can get
you're
you,
getting good.
When I can get you on the Munchie Mux, I didn't even write that down.
You're
that
getting is, good at
oh,
these.
Oh man. Let me tell you guys. You know what, Stephen? Why don't you tell us about Munchie Mug?
I will tell you about Munchie Mug. I've known Munchie Mug since the inception. I went to high school with
just
the...
tell them about the product. I don't
well,
know what he asked for.
You,
the back...
I'm giving
nobody
you
asked for the Wikipedia
story.
Page.
I'm giving
yeah.
the backstory.
This is the Facebook feature where it says like, here's the history of the relationship. Tell me about the Munchie Mug itself.
I'll tell you about the Munchie Mug itself. It is the best snack cup on the market.
Spill proof.
Only truly no spill snack cup. It catches. Not just the big stuff, but also like the little crumbs mm-hmm. and the dust. You know how goldfish and graham crackers kind of turn to dust? It catches all of that because it's two layers of overlapping fabric. It's nice on the hands.
Let me ask you some questions about it.
Oh, shoot.
Is it okay for the environment?
It is fantastic for the environment.
It's good for the environment.
It's fantastic.
It's actually positive for the environment.
Yeah. Lorax approved.
How do you clean it?
Top rack dishwasher. Top.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And are there varieties or can you only get it in one way?
Oh. Come on, guy. Talking about varieties, two different sizes, 10 different colors.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Can there. You get a discount on it if you're a listener to this podcast?
You know, normally I would. Normally I wouldn't do this, but just because I'm feeling in a good mood today, if you guys go to the website, www.munchiemug.com, MUNCHIEMUG.com, and use the promo code DON'TMAKEME. You'll get
25%
off. I was about to give him 50. I was about to give him 50, but I don't like it. All right. You'll get
25% off and free shipping.
And free shipping.
Also, if you guys have not already given us rating and subscribed, please do so. Whatever app you're listening to, there's an option that you can give reviews, and we would love if you would do that. It would
yeah.
be so special to us. And let me read a couple of them right here. We have this one from So Many Kids 83. That's one of ours.
Hopefully, that's not as many kids as they have.
Mm-hmm.
That's an orphanage.
Dustin and his guests cover a wide range of real-life topics each week. If you're not listening regularly, it's time you question what you are really doing with your life. Mm. I highly recommend this to all my friends and family for a good laugh. Hashtag Munchie Mug. I think it's the first time a sponsor ever made it in here. I'm living funny and relatable. I'm living the mom life of three. My husband makes fun of me for listening to your podcast because it's such a millennial thing to do, but he'll ask me to put this one on. Only finish episode 4. Get, come on, Eken 2. Need to prioritize the show to catch up. So, you know, these little things hurt. Someone said 49er Bear King. My sides hurt so much from laughing. All these little things. We really are so appreciative of our community that engages with
definitely.
This. On Instagram, send us your screenshots on Tuesdays that you're listening to it, and I'm happy to post those. I am at Dustin Nickerson on Instagram. Also, you can tweet at us at Don't Make Me Pod and shoot us emails of guest ideas and topics that you'd like us to cover. We are Don't Make Me Come Back There at gmail.com. We love you all, Backseaters. Thank you so much for being a part of this community and taking part of this podcast with us. Enjoy this episode with Brian Bates.
We'll see you.
Don't Make Me Come Back There is about as nomadic as podcast as it gets.
What's nomadic mean?
We travel. You know, like nomadic people, they're in a different place.
Oh, nomads,
time.
Yeah.
I don't know if you study that growing up in the South. Already, we're 10 seconds in.
Oh, gosh. Can we start over? I was being honest. I didn't know what nomadic meant.
I think that one of the great ongoing bits that Brian Bates and I have is that Brian just assumes that I think everybody is a dumb redneck.
I don't assume that. You say stuff like that.
Well, because now that I know you think it, now it's funny to say. Now it's very satisfying.
Don't
pretend
like it's
of course
you
don't know what nomadic means because, you know, and it's not, that's not accurate.
Well, I mean, it is accurate. I don't know what nomadic means. I wasn't just playing dumb. It is also accurate that you don't like the South.
That's not, that is rednecks. Wholly inaccurate. I like the South a lot.
You bring it up a lot.
Well, with you, absolutely. I have to. I'm just, that's, so nomadic, we travel a lot, and that's what our podcast does.
All right.
We listen, we have recorded in hotels, many green rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Many different living rooms, Stephen and I's living room many times. Mm-hmm. We have recorded in multiple vehicles That's a thing that we've done.
Moving?
And, one moving. The one we did with Tim Hawkins. We were in a moving vehicle.
Oh, wow, it's a bus. It's
a, no, no,
it's
no,
like
no.
When
that was
driving.
No, that wasn't.
Name drop.
That wasn't on the Hawkins bus. That was when we were in an SUV going from Sacramento to LA.
Okay.
And his brother was driving. All so right. We did that. And now, I can't believe this is the first one, but this is our first comedy condo. We have talked on this podcast a lot about comedy condos because, as you know, as a comic, it's a big part of our life. And it's really, honestly, I wish we could do them all here.
This is an above average comedy condo.
I know. It really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
What makes a good and bad condo?
Well, cleanliness, I would say, is number one for me.
No stains. I don't see any stains anywhere.
Yeah, they're usually from the decor from the 1970s,
mm-hmm.
and so are the stains. Although, although that's better than when you see the fresh stains. I'd rather see a 1970s stain than one that's still damp.
Oh, damp. Oh, it's so gross. It's the grossest word you could have said.
You sit down and like, what's that?
Oh,
it's like, oh, okay. And then you check the website to see who was here last week. I know that guy. Oh, I know whose dampness I'm sitting in.
That is the life of a road comic where you're just like, at least it's an old stain.
Yeah. You look at the refrigerator and there's food that's just been there forever.
Yeah. There's this. I was looking in your... I was looking in the cabinets here, and they have like fresh granola. It's all labeled and stuff. It's all like they're trying. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're trying to make comics be better.
Yeah, and there's canned goods up there. When I first got here, because we're kind of in a remote area, I was like, this is kind of like one of those apocalyptic movies where you break into a house.
Well, you had to walk through the snow.
Yeah, and then you see what they have, because I was looking through all the cans and like, all right. I can make this work if I'm if I'm stuck here for a few days.
I guess they really do, you know, Appleton, Wisconsin, in the winter, they have to presume there's always a chance you could get snowed in for a while.
I guess, yeah. It's,
you always have to be ready for that. Now, I wouldn't know about that over at the Marriott.
How's your swimming, your heated pool going?
I don't have a heated pool. I have a beautiful river view, but I don't. That, again, let the record show, I had every intention of staying here.
Well, why didn't you?
You, I don't act like, don't play naive.
Well, all right, I'll answer that question then, because you're the headliner.
No, because the club said we only want one. I said, well, stay at the condo. I'm happy to stay at the condo with Brian.
Yeah.
It's great for me just to be among, you know, the civilians down here with you. It's good for my brand.
Yeah.
just so people know I'm not above you. And then they, last week they emailed me saying, hey, actually, we only want one person staying at the condo. So we get you the hotel.
Why didn't you say, I'll take the condo? And
well, let's be reasonable here.
There's a class system here, folks. Yeah. Let's don't kid ourselves.
I'm here now recording, and we're going to watch football here.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. It is the better football watching setup, so that's for sure.
Yeah,
I've stayed in much worse condos than this, and it's clean, and everything is here, and the Wisconsin folk have been real nice.
Yes,
have you played this? There's a this is an interesting thought to me, because there's a Southern hospitality,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like people in this part of the world are more genuinely nice.
Well, I don't say that's you putting down the South again. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Folks,
I just
he's doing it right now.
No, this is meant more to be a compliment to the Midwest folks, particularly Wisconsin. Are these folks not way friendlier than most humans you interact with?
They're very friendly. I mean, we just went for a nice walk along the Friendship Trail.
Everybody said hi.
And everyone said hello.
And we're wearing Titans gear and Seahawks gear in Packer territory.
Yep.
Every single person said hi and nice. How are you?
Yep.
All those things.
But I think people in the South do that.
I don't know. I don't buy it.
Well, okay. Let me see. One of us has lived in the South all our life. One of us is a West Coast elite. Wonder which one would know more.
I think that you're acting from the place of ignorance, because you said just a few minutes ago that you don't know anything about the West Coast.
I do. I mean, that's...
Am
well,
I all you need to know?
I don't know anything about West Coast comedy. That's what I said far as... I know about the South and the Midwest and... And I don't know about West Coast. And I realize the difference that you don't know about us good folks here. Because the other day, you're like, here's a sign of a true road comic. You fly into the city and then you get your rental car and you're driving around. I'm like, well, Dustin, a real road comic drives to those places. You don't fly first class Delta
and then go to the Delta lounge.
And then have your driver pick you up. I'm like, wow, I'm a real road comic.
Listen, these Munchie Mug sponsors that we've been on the podcast have really taken us to the next level.
But I don't know about.
It's not my. I'm geographically further. I have driven to many gigs, just not out here.
True. But when you're in the Midwest, out in the South, Midwest, you can drive to a lot of places. You can be a true road comic.
Well, Nashville, you can drive to a lot of them too, right?
Right.
Because Nashville's right on that cusp of, like, you can get to. Like, there's a decent amount of states that you can drive to. It's not like you're deep, deep south.
Yeah, but when you're on the West Coast, like you said, you can't drive to many gigs west. That's pretty hard.
Well, if I drive west, I go straight into the ocean.
Yeah.
The only gig I've ever done west is I did a gig in Hawaii. That's as far west as I could get.
Here we go. I set myself up for that one.
Oh, man.
Oh, great.
No, we can. I drive a lot to Arizona, Nevada, and NorCal. Those are the states you can drive to. And if you're really committed, you would go up to Oregon and Washington. But that's like a 28-hour drive. So those are far.
What would you say, though, is the difference between West Coast comedy and Southern comedy or Midwest? Or
I just think in general, the comics are funnier on the West Coast.
Yeah,
I think that it's just like an intellectual thing. I just say it's.
The comedy smarter.
I can't even finish the statement. I can't, because it's so like stereotypical and not accurate at all.
Yeah,
I think that it's every comedy is regional. Of course, all comedy is regional. I think it has to do with what scene you started and what the people are. It's less to do with where you live and more to do with where you started. I feel like.
But you were telling me. Other night about some hack premises. That's a West Coast premise. I won't ask you to repeat.
You're talking about. I was telling you all my hack premises. Let's go over the record. I told you the act that I built after my first 2 years doing casinos. You know, all along the Southwest, I was like, oh man, these jokes got to go. But I was just learning how to be a comic. I was just learning how to do the job.
Yeah, but you were telling me other night about some premises that are West Coast premises too that are just.
Oh,
yeah. Kind of hacky.
Yeah, that's, and well, let's define hacky as just something that you hear a lot.
Yeah, not stolen, but.
Yeah, but well, like, there are different, like when you're in the Bay Area, I feel like every other comic has something about, you know, being in a polyamorous relationship. Like,
what's polyamorous?
Like, it's just an open relationship. It means nomadic. It really does kind of mean nomadic, actually.
Wow, okay.
And that's just funny because that's if you go, and I've seen like Bay Area comics go to like, even not like South or like I'm like in Colorado Springs. Yeah. And be like, I'm in a polyamorous relationship. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? These words don't make sense. The things you're saying don't make any sense to me. But like when in the Bay Area, you're like, all right, every third comic has this. So when you get in LA, it's all about commercial shoots. Not all, but you hear a lot. It's like, oh, I was at a commercial shoot. I was on set the other day.
That's interesting.
And then also jokes about their psychiatrist. I was talking to my psychiatrist.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think about, like, for the South, I know in New York, a lot of comics that have subway jokes and stuff like that are very hacky.
Yeah, and LA has traffic jokes and stuff like that.
LA has traffic jokes. I was trying to think about the South. I mean, I feel like a lot of comics, I don't think this is a South thing. I think there's a lot of weed smoking jokes and.
Oh, yeah, that's everywhere.
Yeah, that's everywhere. I don't know about the South.
I've heard the version of this joke about 100 times of the, I went into my doctor to get a weed card. And he said, why do you need this before it's legal? It's like, because I get nervous a lot. Like, I'm nervous that I'm not going to be able to get weed. I was like, okay, I've heard that.
Well, great.
It's a great joke. That's there for sure.
Yeah.
But I some of it's like, it's hacky is too negative a term.
Well, the one thing the South has, obviously, is a lot of blue-collar characters, redneck characters.
Yeah,
they are maybe redneck in real life, but they really ratcheted it up to become a character.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And you have more jokes about going to church, more church-based jokes, not like jokes you would tell in church per se, but just in general.
Right.
You know,
I guess that's true.
About preachers and growing up in church and all those things. And those jokes work everywhere, but on the West Coast, there's like four Christians.
Thank you for admitting what I thought. Are you one of them? I don't know.
Learn
this weekend? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
This has been about as clean-cut living as a weekend as you've ever done in comedy.
That's true.
Yeah. I pick you up. We went on a walk today.
We did.
I don't know, across a river. What was the name of the place?
Friendship Trail.
Just a couple of buddies in Wisconsin.
That seems like a very California thing. Just
Friendship
a couple of guys
see,
from the West
here
Coast.
We go. Now comes your bias. See, you're racist. That's not even a race.
Racist? I don't
But so you're through and through South. You grew up in the South.
Yes.
Where in the South?
Just outside Nashville.
Okay.
So basically Nashville my entire life.
Nashville your entire life. Mom, dad from there? What was home life?
Yeah, like? I mean, we were talking about earlier today. We're in Appleton, Wisconsin right now. And we're like, how does someone end up in Appleton?
Right. Not in a derogatory sense.
No.
Literally just curious.
Yeah, just curious. And we both said, well, you're probably born here. And, you know, that's just the way you're laid. And who am I to knock that? Because I've done the same thing. I just happened to be born where I was born, and I haven't left. So, you know, it's just what happens.
I wonder what the stats on that. I wonder if most people do stay where they grow up, or a lot of people leave and then come back, you know?
Yeah, it's probably some of that. Nashville has so many transplants now that...
Yeah, San Diego's the same way.
Yeah.
Seattle, too. The two cities I've lived in, there aren't... And San Diego even more so, because it's such a destination. Like, it's very hard to find people that are from there.
Yeah, like, in Nashville, they call them unicorns if you're actually from there. But I am one, and yeah, so I grew up there my whole life. My parents lived just outside of Nashville. And
did they grow up there, too?
Yeah.
So, and the folks before them, how many generations Nashville are the Bates?
However many there are. We just started there.
You just emerged.
We just emerged.
Popped up one day.
In Mount Juliet. And
came down from the mountain.
Yeah. So, yeah, they all live in Lebanon, home of Cracker Barrel.
What is that? That's like the... That's like the headquarters?
Yeah.
I was going to say, the fact that they have a Cracker Barrel is not interesting. That's not...
No, that's the headquarters. My cousin works at the headquarters. My sister used to work there.
Really?
Yep.
That's... I don't know if I've ever told you, but like Arizona is like the south of the West. And you know that because like as soon as you cross into Arizona, it's all very... Everything changes from California.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the first thing you see is a Cracker Barrel. Like it's, and they're nowhere to be found in California that I can't...
Well, there was that... Sacha Baron Cohen show.
New one?
Yeah, the new one. I forgot what it's called right of hand. But one of his scenes was he set up these people to... He made them think there was a mosque coming to their city. And these were the most redneck people. Like, if I was watching, I would have thought it would maybe been in the South. But it was in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of surprised that... It just shows there's people like that everywhere.
Yeah, well, and you'll see that in California, too. Like, you just kind of, once you get outside of the cities, you know, I were talking about that before, earlier today. Like, I have that joke about Trump supporters and how, you know, regardless of where you land, I don't like that when people were surprised that Trump won, because that's very ignorant.
Yeah.
Chappelle talked about that on the,
yeah.
You know, he did that sketch. Like, you ever been around this country? You
right.
know, like... And that I say, you know, then this isn't derogatory. Trump supporters are like Nickelback fans. Like, just because you don't know any, like, there's
yeah.
a lot of them. There's
yeah.
so many of them. And these are the people that watch Big Bang Theory and
yep.
love it and eat it up. And that's fine. And live your life. Even if it is an elitist standpoint when you're like, don't. It's not elitist to not like those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's elitist to think that you're better than people because that is what they like. And considering that's what the majority of the people like and consume, and California is like that too.
Yeah.
And so is Washington as soon as you get out of the big cities.
Yeah.
You know, this is what the majority of the country is that lives outside of these major cities.
Yeah. Well, Nashville's, not that you asked, but it's, it's a,
I'm a great interviewer.
It's a blue city in a red state.
Yeah.
And it's become much more, Atlanta's the same way. Atlanta's very blue city in a very red state. And there's a lot of that in the South.
Yeah.
But the good thing about that is it does help you. You see different viewpoints, and it's not everyone's thinking the same way because there's no way. And where I'm going to assume in L.A., pretty much 99% are anti-Trump and probably have the same liberal viewpoints.
Is there...
Comics that I'm talking
about.
Yeah.
99 plus 1%.
Plus 1%, right? Where Nashville, still, the majority of the comics are liberal and are anti-Trump, and they talk about it on stage. But still, you've got your... You've got more than probably LA, I'm sure.
Well, it's interesting. Well, as far as outside of LA comics, I mean, obviously they're what people say and talk about, and then they're what people do in the booths.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's plenty of money in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are plenty of people that, for no other reason than the tax breaks and the Republican Party being a lot friendlier, go into that booth and vote red. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Live your life. Vote the way you want.
Yeah.
You know? But your folks then have seen, I'm always interested in this, because this happened in the town that I grew up in. When my dad moved there, I grew up just in between Seattle and Tacoma in a city called Federal Way. If you're from there, we call it Federal Way.
Okay.
We're not smart. We don't know how to read the name of our city. But
all right.
It was like 10,000 people when he moved there, and it was like 80,000 when he left, and like whole areas of like, you know, woods and forest had been torn down and put in homes. Your family, even more so, has to see Nashville change like crazy. And you in your life.
Yes.
Because how old are you?
47.
And so the boom of Nashville has been what? Last 10 years?
Last 10 years, basically, yeah.
Like, I've seen, I think you told me the stat, there's like over like 100 people moving there a day or something like that.
Yeah, that's the whole metropolitan area.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's crazy how many people are moving there.
How have you seen the city change? And do you like it?
For the most part, I like it. I just like, I think it's exciting. I like new industry coming there. I wish they had more comedy clubs.
Yeah, you only got the one. It's a great one.
Yeah, it's a great club.
Shout out Lucy. And Brian.
Yeah.
I don't think Brian listens.
Unless you're talking about me. No, I don't actually listen either, so I guess no Brian.
That's not true.
He's
being dishonest right now.
I like it for the most part. Traffic is getting much worse.
Sure.
And I know you'll probably roll your eyes like, oh, you think this is bad, but...
Well, San Diego doesn't have bad traffic.
Okay.
It's not too bad.
But traffic in Nashville is getting worse. It just comes with the territory. But for the most part, I like... the growth and I like.
What about your folks? What do they think? What are they like? What do they do growing up? And what was your home like? Are they the type that are like, oh gosh, the city? It's
Well, my mom lives like 30 miles outside of Nashville.
Are your folks split?
My dad passed away.
Okay, when did your dad pass?
He passed away in 2006.
Okay,
and he's kind of like, I'd say, an inspiration for me starting to do comedy, because he died in December 2006. And, well, for one, I spoke at my dad's funeral, which was very hard, but I told some funny stories.
Yeah.
And
you had
I
a good
saw
set.
A good set. Did all right. But I saw how humor can lighten.
Heal.
Yeah. Even in the worst times. And then in January 2007, and I was feeling kind of down and wanted something fun, I took Rick Roberts' comedy class.
Mm.
So a month later, I took Rick's class. And that's when I started doing comedy. So my dad had no idea. I started a month after my dad passed away. He had no idea.
I didn't know that.
I even was interested in stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. My dad was, he had a variety of jobs, but his main job was a realtor and auctioneer. The realtor, you probably get auctioneer, that's a little different.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he could, he could do the talk.
He could work a mic.
He could work a mic.
That's where you got it from.
Well, similar, he's... a lot of people think I'm quiet off stage, but my dad was a pretty quiet guy until he would start doing auctioneering, and then this new personality would come out.
Mm.
My mom was a church secretary for like 35 years.
Really?
Yep.
At the church you grew up in?
Actually, no. I know that seems weird.
No. I think that's somewhat common.
Well, my church, all right, here's what's weird about it. Well, I guess that's not weird. She didn't even go to the church on Sunday morning that she worked
at. That she worked at.
Because... she was just very loyal to the really small church that we grew up in.
Okay.
And
but some other church wanted to hire her, and they were okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. So she retired a few years ago, and she's still doing well. But to answer your question about the change and what she feels about it, she doesn't go to Nashville much on her own, even though she's only 30 miles away. But she watches the news, and I'd tell a joke about how it just goes to show how television can – form your opinions.
Mm-hmm.
She only watches local news. She sees all the crime, because every morning on the news they're shooting somewhere.
Yeah,
she thinks Nashville's just big cesspool of crime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And as someone who lives there,
live downtown.
I do live downtown, and she just thinks that I'm just dodging bullets, and it's so dangerous, and that I should.
It's
be
worth
careful.
It, Mom. It's worth it.
And anyone who lives there knows, sure, there's going to be crime, but no one feels threatened.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't even knock her for that because we all form opinions on stuff. Like, I feel like in the Middle East, like the Holy Lands, there's places like, gosh, I wouldn't want to go there. There's just bombs going off or whatever. And
yeah.
There's just people at Starbucks. So, I mean, all our opinions are formed by sometimes stuff that we see in the news and the media. I just went to Boston for the first time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I knew about Boston was movies where there's a bunch of street thugs and everyone's kind of tough or whatever.
There's one genius janitor.
Yeah. But I really was like, I'm going to go to Boston. If I look at the guy the wrong way or whatever, I might get in a fight with somebody.
Yeah.
Of course that's not the case. You're not going to those neighborhoods.
No.
My mom thinks Chicago, I don't mean my mom, but we all can think this way. She thinks Chicago is just like the worst because she sees the shootings everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, Mom, those are in neighborhoods you will never be going to.
Right.
As a white woman going down Michigan Avenue, you're going to be okay.
Yeah. You know how to stay away from it. So it's just all formed by media.
To a degree, yeah.
Well, and you used to be in TV. You were a news producer, right?
Yeah.
So is that why you left? You get tired of all that?
No.
Because
crime cells? No. I was all about it. I was one pushing that narrative.
Were you? Like, these aren't even true stories.
Yeah.
You're just telling interns to go shoot somebody. Buddy. It bleeds, it leads?
Yeah.
Is that a phrase?
Sure.
Oh, my God.
I coined it.
No, you did. Was that an industry thing?
Yeah, that's an industry thing.
Oh, it bleeds, gross. It leads. Oh, that's. I feel like someone. I just like learned how people do magic tricks.
I gave you a little inside tip.
It doesn't feel good at all, though.
Yeah.
You'd want to know, but then you hear and you're like, oh.
But that's kind of a joke. That's like, I'm not saying that's.
Well,
really
it's funny because like with Joel, my oldest, you know, like he'll
oldest what.
My oldest child, my oldest person that I know, we were like in the, we went out to breakfast last week, me, my dad, and the kids, and Melissa was working and then had a dentist appointment, so we just went out to breakfast, and like, the news was on,
yeah,
and like, I spend my whole life trying to filter the media that my son takes in,
okay.
You know, like, you can't watch YouTube.
How old is he?
He's 11.
So his whole life has been social media.
Yeah, well, he's not on any social media.
But, I mean, YouTube's been a thing his whole
life. YouTube is the one that we're like, you just can't be on this. We just can't trust you on YouTube. You know, there's just too much. It's too easy to get to something real bad on YouTube.
Yeah.
And trust me, I know. And we're just in there having breakfast, and the news was like, you know, just the stereotypical, you know, dad kidnaps stepchildren, locks them in closet.
Is
this
local news?
Yeah, four people murdered. You know, just my three kids are just looking at this like, oh my gosh, this is way worse than anything. Because like these are like terrible things that happen to real people in the city that I live in. And news like that is just you. In some ways, you want to shelter them. And other ways you want to be like, no, this is the real world. But at the more so, you're like, you know, at 11, you don't really need to know about all this because you can't really comprehend it. What's going on.
I guess that's true. I was thinking because we always watched the local. It was always on. And I don't ever remember being scarred from it. But maybe either they didn't talk about it as much or like you said, you just as 11-year-old, just whatever.
I think as an 11-year-old, you saw those horror stories and you were inspired to go into news. You're like, I can do a better job with this. I can.
Maybe. Needs to bleed and lead more. My mom, though, she thinks that, she thinks she'll say things like, because she watching the news, the world's getting to be such a bad place. And, you know, it's a common thing for older people to say, maybe for everyone to say like, golly, you know, you can't trust anyone these days.
Right.
Just what's happening to the world. But then you read these stats where crime's down.
Yep.
There's less killings from even decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, it's not, we see it more, but it's actually the world's getting safer.
Yeah. I watched this. I went to this conference years ago and it was like a,
Promise Keepers.
It was a Promise Keepers conference. And no, it was a, it was for my work and it was the CEO of that company, Life is Good. You know that, have you seen those t-shirts? They're like the little smiley face guy, Life is Good. He was like the keynote. And and I was like, oh, this will be interesting. Yeah. I've seen this stuff, and I've always thought this gear is like kind of cheesy, but like I respect what they're doing brand wise, you know. And he went up, and I remember he goes, you know, we are just a company that tries to embrace optimism and to tries to not ignore the horrors of the world, but to embrace that things aren't as bad as we think they are.
Right.
And he got up, and I remember he shared, and I assume this is true, that he goes, you know, technically the world, by every measurable statistic, is better than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
People live longer than they used to.
Mm-hmm.
There are less illiterate people mm-hmm. than there used to be. There are less hungry people. Mm-hmm. Crime is down. Mm-hmm. War is down. Murder is down. Like, and mm-hmm. we're healthier than we used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, that doesn't mean that there aren't still bad things in the world. Mm-hmm. But people who have that mindset of things are awful and the world is, you know, going to crap. And he goes, mm-hmm. it's just kind of inaccurate.
Yeah.
But I think that maybe on a deeper level, what I'm interested in is like, then why do we like that it? Why do we like, what's the appeal of the narrative that it's bad? Why does that?
Right. Well, that's a great question. I think that, are you saying we as humans or even the media, why do they like to put that
both
out?
I mean, we watch the media. Like if we didn't like the narrative, or
they
if we weren't doing it, then they wouldn't be doing it.
Well, I feel like that it's a good sign in some ways that that's still what's on the news, because that means it's unusual and rare.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Life would really, really bad if you stopped reporting on mass casualties because it's such a commonplace.
Right.
So I try to look at it that way. I don't know. I think we all like to, we have a survival instinct in all of us. Mm-hmm. So therefore, one, we like to watch stories of people going down because it makes us feel better about ourselves.
Right.
And I don't know.
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday with the... with the Kevin Hart thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we, at least when we're recording this, it was yesterday that he went on Ellen, and Ellen, you know, supported him and came to his corner and said, you know, I forgive you. And I was reading some stuff on that. And, you know, I think some people had some really good, legitimate points on that where they said, you know, Ellen, these attacks weren't against you. Like I saw one, I watched one video of a guy who said, you know, like these were attacks on particularly African-American gay men. And so, Ellen, like, this isn't your place to absolve him for
mm-hmm,
this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a reasonable response. But there were still all over the comments just people who are, like, just hating him for the sake of hating him.
Yeah.
And I think their whole angle, not all of it, because a lot of people had reasonable responses, a lot of it was they just want to see him come down. They just want to see him take it down. It's the line from... The Dark Knight about the Joker, that some people just want to see the world burn.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, you know what? Look at this big guy on top of the world, Kevin Hart. Let's bring him down.
Yeah.
Let's bring him down.
And people, yeah, you want to feel better about yourself by bringing someone else down.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I think also, like, sometimes I just think it's somewhat lazy, like, because being critical is so easy.
Yeah.
Being negative is, like, the easiest thing in the world. Like, you know... like having a positive perspective on life really does take work.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to like stop and just go, no, I'm going to like choose to be positive about this. Is everything all right outside?
I think that's the mailman.
Oh, wait.
I thought somebody's about to come in, but I think that was the mailman.
What kind of
mail would it be getting here in my condo?
That's for sure. I hope it has your name on it.
That would be crazy.
And they'd be like, did you have your mail forwarded for this weekend? Did you have something really? You're like, I got to get this out. I got to get it.
I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I don't know. We'll go a different direction.
No, I was about to make a really great point, but now I can't remember what it was.
Yeah?
Is it about? Oh, well, I don't know. Yeah, you're right.
Was it about being nomadic?
Choose to be polyannic. What was the word?
Polyamorous.
Yeah. No, people do enjoy it. Just it's easier to go negative. And
yeah.
It takes more work. People say it takes more muscles to frown. What is it?
Or more muscles to smile than to frown. Right. Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, it's easier to frown than to smile, right?
I think that's that.
I don't know.
Some people, it's worth it.
We're just speaking in inspirational posters right now that you would see at your dentist. You know. Hang in there.
Just Look, I love to bring down the next guy. Just
yeah,
as
I was
going to
say.
There's plenty of comics, which I, you know.
I know. I
make as soon as we stop this podcast, I'll be going off on.
Yeah, and we make it sound like you and I are these like super upbeat comics. This is a regular battle for me. I mean, I think in general, optimism is very overrated. It doesn't help me in any way, but that doesn't mean like I'm a pessimist. I don't think that everything's awful. I just don't work from a point of everything's going to work out.
Would you call yourself a realist?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Why do you think optimism is overrated?
I should only speak personally. I don't want to put this on other people. Yeah. Like, I think optimism can really help you get out of hard spots.
Yeah.
It just doesn't do anything for me. Like, me assuming that everything is, like, going to work out or having, like, a really positive outlook on things, it just doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't make me happier because I'm not unhappy. I'm a pretty happy person. I'm pretty, like, chill emotionally. I have, like, two emotions. Like,
what are they?
Laid back, like, kind of like this, and rage. Those are my two.
Really?
I don't really I just get upset. That's all. But the sorry, I'm clipping out a little bit there. But, like, I don't know. I guess some of that is, like, maybe I need to flesh these ideas out a little more. I don't like some of it's an insecurity of where like, hey, if you assume everything is going to work out and then it doesn't, then you're hurt, you know, but also some of it is I don't need I'm going to be happy either way. I'm going to be content either way. Plenty of hard things that have happened in my life and I've got through them just fine. And they were hard in the moment, and it's the Ecclesiastes. There's a time to laugh, there's a time to cry.
Yeah.
And I just kind of try and embrace each.
That's happened this weekend during our shows.
Yeah.
when you and I are on stage,
the time to cry, time not to laugh is when I'm on stage for 52 minutes, and everyone's like, "Ooh, we'd have been fine with you in the feature hole, buddy."
To your point about being optimistic or even positive, generally speaking, I do think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But I do get frustrated with people who either say, oh, it's in God's hands, so I'm, you know, about it, or it's going to work out. But then they don't put the work in. You know, it's almost like they're giving themselves a pass.
Yeah.
Like, hey, it's going to work out. It's going to be fine.
That's, you know what, that helps me flesh out the idea, because what I'm saying is I don't need those things to work hard and to be happy, because really, like, circumstances won't make you happy. They'll make you sad for sure, but like, things going well, like, you know, enjoy the moment. If you have a great meal, enjoy the great meal. If you have it, like, healthy relationships will make you happy. That's to me, that's the only thing that I can really bank on, and your health and positive experiences. But like, I'm thinking specifically in terms of like career, you know, because we have a little bit of a career where people set up these goals and have these vision boards and all these kind of things. And I go, in my mind, I'm like, you know, I'm going to be fine either way. I'm going to work really hard. I want to control the things that I control. I'm going to have good days emotionally. I'm going to have bad days emotionally. But I'm not going to like set out and be like, oh man, I just have to, I just have to think positively and then things will work out. Like, I'm just going to work hard and maybe they'll work out and maybe they won't. I think some of it, maybe a realist is the right word, because like, I know so many comics who are so funny and who have worked so hard.
Right.
And it just hasn't worked out the way that would seem fair.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And they're okay with that. And I don't like, I think sometimes to then look at their situation and be like, well, if they would have been more upbeat or more positive thinking, I think that's kind of insulting to them. That like, sometimes you don't get to control the way that your career and your life works out, because circumstances are outside of your control. Gatekeepers are outside of your control.
Yeah.
I just tried to work from a place of contentment and focusing on the things that matter, if that makes sense.
It does.
Kind of a rambly thought.
Name some names.
There's this guy in Nashville, Brian Bates. He...
This podcast would get a lot more listeners if you would start naming names.
Yeah.
Just start bringing people down.
No, I don't have any interesting names. I mean, I dropped Hawkins pretty early on, but that's only to the four Christians who live on the West Coast that really care about that. I have a question for you, because how old's your mom?
She's 75.
Your mom's 75.
Yeah.
And you grew up in a Christian environment.
Yes.
And you are not currently married.
Correct.
Is this a point of tension?
Wow, we're getting
personal. We're just getting really into it all of a sudden.
is a point of tension for who?
Well, for everybody involved. Like, you know, there's the pressure. Brian, you know, you're not in a relationship, you're not married yet, grandkids, all those things. I'm always curious about that because I'm not, some of this has to tie into the, I suppose, the happiness and positivity. And
you're, I mean, I guess you're suggesting that as Christians, there's even more pressure to get married and have a family.
I think that pressure is always there.
Right.
I think in Christian environments, they're even more that way.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a couple of good examples. I always bring up my friend Jesus. That's a good one to go to. The Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the books of the New Testament.
Yeah. Some people say he was married.
Some people say he was married. Yeah. Well, some people say Jesus is married.
Yeah.
Probably West Coast Christians. Or to guess.
Gospel of Thomas. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our
number. I don't know what you guys are doing out there.
That's our number one gospel.
I've never done comedy in California.
Jesus was in a polyamorous relationship.
Jesus was a nomad.
That's true, actually. He that was. Part is true. Yeah. Yeah. That was good. You learned a word and you put it in a sentence.
Yeah.
This is a big day for you.
You know, they've never been too pressurous. I think the pressure.
Pressure.
I blew it. you gave me a compliment 15 seconds later. I make up a word.
Pressurous. You should have done it with it. Like,
oh, you're so pressurous.
You're so pressure.
All right, I blew that. I've never been that much pressured. I'm sure my family wanted me to meet someone and get married, but at the same time, they want me to be happy, and I think I've lived a pretty good Christian life as a single person. So, no, I've never felt extra pressure from my family.
Right. Well, even religion aside, I mean, I wonder, you know, as, like, I make the joke on stage that, you know, sometimes, and this is coming from someone who's on the opposite end,
yeah,
who got married very young.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you get a little bit older and your friends get married, it's like less of a celebration and more of a relief. You're like, ooh,
yeah.
I didn't know if this guy was going to die alone, or which is a little dark. And now that I'm looking you in the eyes while I say this joke, I think I might stop telling it.
Yeah. That one hurts, Dustin. It really does.
But you know what I mean? Like, I think that absolutely, like, it's fine to be single. It's totally fine. But I wonder if it's, an interesting dynamic and struggle emotionally as friends do get married, or to feel like you missed out on something. And you have a girlfriend now and things seem to be going well.
Yeah.
But a lot of your friends have gotten married. And divorced in that time. So that made
I'm glad you mentioned the girl. I feel like you're trying to get me to come out here live on the air.
Yeah.
Like, Brian, is there something you want to tell us?
Yeah, Brian.
No, I look at it in my 20s when I was more insecure and trying to find my way. Now, you were already married when you turned 20, but.
Yeah, I was a veteran.
I was trying to
teaching marriage seminars in my 20s.
And a lot of my friends were getting married in their 20s.
Yeah.
That was the hardest. 30s, you start getting a little bit more comfortable in your own skin and kind of realize who you are as a person. I started comedy very late in life, but boy, when I started, that's when I really started seeing the advantages of being single.
Married to the game.
Because, well, I don't know about that, but a lot of my married friends that I was starting out with, they're, understandably, they can't go out every night when they're married with kids, and
I could. Oh, I do. I just don't care enough about the marriage and kids.
Well, you do you. But in the South, if you're a Christian, you know, you care about your family. So I started seeing it advantageous.
I have many families. I have polyamorous with families. So
yeah. I saw it advantageous then to be single. Not that I was necessarily glad or not glad, but I was like, boy, this is one advantage.
Right.
I don't have someone that, you know, I feel guilty about if I'm at some open mic at midnight trying to get up to do 3 minutes.
So you were able to have a pretty positive outlook on it then.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gotten more and more positive as I've gotten older. Now, like you said, I'm in a relationship now and that things are going well. But especially when I got in my 40s, I was very content and satisfied with if I'd never get married. And we'll see what happens. But if I ever do, I'm okay with that.
Is she a listener to this podcast? Is this going to come up?
What do you think the odds are?
But you don't need to insult the podcast, all right? I mean, granted, I've insulted you and implied that you're lonely and insecure, and I've disrespected the whole region of the country that you're from, but you don't need to be insulting.
Well, why don't I just propose to her on this podcast and then see if she ever finds out? We could be engaged for 3 years and she has no idea.
Hey, honey, have you listened to Dustin's podcast? Who? Oh, that's not a good start. That is not a good start.
Yeah. So I don't know if that answers your question, but
it does. Yeah, I'm just curious because I don't. There's no right or wrong to it. There's
I feel like you're implying there is.
No, there's not at all.
There's a wrong, and I'm doing it.
Well, obviously.
The crazy thing is,
there's
I'm
no better
enough.
Or worse. But I will say that I think that. And this is a bad, this is a, I don't know if arrogance is the right word, but it's,
sure it is.
Yeah, if it's me, it probably is. Man, you do a lot of ego checks in my life. I think sometimes it's naivety is what it is. The naivety from someone who's married is you, and this sounds demeaning, but sometimes you worry. You worry that somebody's lonely. You worry that, you know, that it's just like, oh gosh, well, you know, everybody wants love and everybody wants to be with somebody and somebody doesn't have it. I think that even though it might be misguided, I think that is an empathetic thought. You know, like if the more concerning would be like, well, I got someone and they don't, that's their fault.
Right,
you know, like
right.
that's, I think that it's okay to just be like, hey, are you doing okay?
Right.
You know, and that you were working from a place of contentment is healthy, but it took you a while to get there.
Yeah, I guess so. That's true. And I know it is for a place of empathy. That is frustrating sometimes. I have some single friends who have complained about married friends that just assume that they're not a complete person if they're not married.
Right.
But I never felt that way because I know that it does come from a place of empathy.
Right.
But I've never been someone, I enjoy being alone. I can be alone for long periods of time to the point where it's probably unhealthy.
Are you okay, Brian? Are you?
I don't know. But no, it's never really bothered me that much. I like to be with someone. It's just got to be the right person. How old was your dad when you got married, or your parents in general?
Let's see. That's a great question.
My guess is they're probably my age now.
Yeah, my dad was born in 1951.
How old would help?
No. I can do math based on. I can deduct. So what year is it right now? 2019.
Yeah.
So he's in his 60s. He's near 70. It was about 15 years ago. So he was young 50s, early 50s, and my mom late 40s. But they're split.
So your mom, late 40s, so she was basically my age.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could have a child that's getting married.
You may have a child that's getting married. I don't know.
Possibly.
Well, hopefully.
No, can we edit that? That's not true, folks. That's a joke.
You did because no one saw the smile on your face. Possibly. I don't know. I mean, I've been working the road.
Yeah, my girlfriend's going to be like, I did listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
And, the answer is no, because apparently you have a child.
Why did you want me to listen to this podcast? I don't understand. Is dating, is the story true on the, that you tell of that you and your girlfriend were together like 9 years ago?
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
I love that.
So we had some mutual friends fix us up, and we went out a few times, and we really did just, neither one of us can even really identify like, why we stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, we only went out very few times. I was a struggling comic then, not like now.
Not like
now. So maybe she didn't like my act. But we went, you know, it's not like there's any animosity or anything. So we kind of like stayed at least Facebook friends. And then I would cross paths with her maybe occasionally, and our friends would occasionally just whatever. And then I was on Match. So obviously I am interested in dating. You know, I'm on Match, and she emailed me and said, hey, it's good to see a familiar face on here. And I looked at her profile and I was like, you know, we have more in common. I have more in common with this girl than most of the girls on here.
Right.
So I emailed her back and I was like, hey, would you like to go out and catch up? And she said that she didn't know at that time if it was just a friendly catch up or whatever. And to be honest with you, I didn't know either. But,
right. You were open to whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I did know that it was more than a friendly catch-up because I did see that we have a lot in common, so maybe I should give this another shot, and that was about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, which like you said, at first sounds almost serendipitous.
What's serendipitous?
Don't play this game.
Does it mean nomadic or
it
polyamorous?
Was that, it was that movie, Serendipity. It means something that happened from that movie is what it means.
I'm thinking about Serendipity.
Yeah, the movie?
Yeah. I had a period when I was a kid. Have you seen that movie?
I haven't, no.
Well, never mind then.
Where's there? Who's in it? Is it a
John Cusack? Yeah. And hot girl from the 90s. I can't remember.
Fill in the blank.
I can't remember.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
No.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Bill? Jessica Bill or whatever?
Oh, Jessica. Yeah.
I think that's who it was.
Bale?
Jeremy Piven.
Piven.
Is in it.
Famous stand-up comedian,
yeah,
Jeremy
he's
Piven.
His friend. Anyway, I'm not going to get into this if you hadn't seen the movie. There's a scene in the movie where they write like a phone number on a dollar bill, and it comes back to him. Like, so he's making change. They're trying to find each other.
He comes back
to him, and he finds it, and that's kind of serendipitous.
Okay.
And then I remember I had
it's a nomadic dollar bill.
Yeah. I had this phase as a kid where I was like, I'm going to do that. Not because of that movie, but I would write a B on every.
You mean as a kid, you were a full-blown adult when this movie came out.
I know. I'm not saying because of the movie. I'm just saying.
Oh, before.
Before the movie, I would write my initials on dollar bills like every time I got one for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And just the goal was I wanted to get one back. That had it never happened, but there's got
to
be some of those.
Oh,
still
you weren't trying to like meet somebody. It was just, I wonder if I'll get it back.
Yeah, I just wanted to see if I could get my own.
Never happened.
Never happened.
Well.
I'm sorry I told that.
It might still happen.
It could.
Well, I guess you kind of got screwed when they took all the old bills out of circulation.
But there's still old bills out there.
No, they're hard to find, right?
I guess. I don't know. Do you ever think about... I don't know why I'm going off on
this. I
want to
hear all of this.
Do you ever think about the life of a coin, though? When you get like... I know people don't use change much anymore, but when you get like a penny or a nickel or whatever that's from 1962, think about how many hands that's changed.
Gross. And kids put them in their mouths.
Well, yeah. I'm not even thinking about the grossness as much as how many people have owned this, how many states it's been in.
Yeah.
Famous people have probably had this. Criminals have had this.
Yeah.
It's probably spent years at the same place, and then it moves on somewhere else.
Yeah, it could have been. What if, what if one of them just like, you know, like you said, just got stuck somewhere for like 10 years?
Yeah. Under a couch cushion or whatever. Is there a point to this podcast? Is there a format?
There was. And then you went on that tangent.
All right, I'm sorry.
Which may be, of the tangents on this pretty tangent-heavy podcast, the furthest one we've ever gone on.
I apologize.
You ever think about the life of a coin? Well, I guess we're thinking about it right now, together, in Appleton.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's all right. I thought maybe you would talk more about it in the friendship circle, but... trail. We saw two best buds having the time of their life out there. Ice fishing together.
Oh, I thought you were talking about those women.
No, two guys sitting next to each other on an ice bucket, like two little 5 gallon Home Depot. Like
that was pretty cool.
Just having the time of their life.
I thought it was a mistake to go on this trail. We were at the restaurant for our listeners, I'm sure, enthralled with this.
Yeah, the Shriner Diner.
And you asked our waitress, is there a trail that we could just go walk on by the lake, by the river.
You thought you were about to get
murdered.
I was
like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
You know, the thing about West Coast folks is we're very cultured. And we just know how to find the good places in cities.
It was actually fun. Like, I was like, this is ridiculous.
Well, Appleton is a river town. Like, you know, the river runs through the whole town.
I think every town's that.
I don't think that's true. I don't think rivers are as prominent as you think they are. They are in this part of the world, that's for sure. But so I knew there would be something, and it was very seeing. But it's same thing. Like it is such an elitist standpoint of like people who live in these cities, they're unhappy, and all we get there, and there's like 100 kids having the time of their lives going down sledding down a hill. People walking, smiling, happy. You can be happy in Appleton.
It was fun.
You can embrace optimism in Appleton until you go to one of our shows.
Appleton's a fun city, even though you don't think so.
What do you mean I don't think so? I took us to do the activity.
I know, but the way you said that, like, hey, you can have fun in Appleton. Well, no one else was even thinking you couldn't.
I'm just appealing to my West Coast listeners who think that, it's just a podunk nothing.
They have my Uber driver told me they had a minor league baseball team here. They're called the Timber Rattlers.
Timber Rattlers.
And I said, what is a Timber Rattler? He said, I have no idea. I'm guessing it's a snake.
I
don't know.
I mean, yeah, you would deduct that it's a snake that lives in a tree.
Tree?
Yeah.
But they're the Timber Rattlers. And he said they're fun. I bet they are fun. Minor League Baseball's fun. He said they're the Brewers affiliate.
Oh, that's nice when they feed into the local team.
Yep.
That's good. Well, we need to wrap up here, but before you do, could you officially propose to your girlfriend here?
I think I did that like 30 minutes
ago. No. You didn't actually say the words yet.
No.
You just got to get it out. No.
Just in case she happened to be listening.
I think it could be really good for our listeners.
I
could really take us to the next level.
That would be.
All right. Let's watch some football. Thanks for doing this, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
Switching between tools for one project gets disjointed, especially on tight deadlines. Grammarly built a game-changing writing surface tailor-made for professionals to help you move your ideas forward and sharpen your writing. You can brainstorm ideas, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or strengthen a proposal without context switching. Easy to get started and even easier to finish. Sign up for Grammarly free and get your professional writing from draft to done. Visit Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com.